We're in Ephesians chapter 6. You remember that the Apostle Paul was in prison whenever this letter to the Ephesian church was written. And he was, he had made a big investment in Ephesus. More time spent in Ephesus than any other location. He spent time in Corinth. He spent time in other places, Athens and different places, Philippi. But he spent at least 3 years in Ephesus. You remember the account where he saw a great door open to him in Ephesus? Many adversaries were there, but he stayed 3 years, and he just invested in those people. And now he is in prison, and he is writing this prison letter back to those Christians. So they're not strangers. He loved them. He had invested in them. He was their spiritual father, and he had invested in the church and the Christians that were there. And so that's why that he spoke to them about a struggle and about an enemy, an adversary that was working against them. Now I want to read these verses that are so well known to us, but then there's one verse I just want to give extra attention to here tonight. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In verse 16, above all, now the Apostle Paul, he said above all because he wanted us to know that this was a truth that stood out even from these others, that was important. It was like he was saying, pay close attention to this one. Listen to what I'm saying. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, there are several things that the Apostle Paul was saying when he talked about this struggle. And one of the first things that I want to talk about here tonight, and that is that we have an adversary, we have an enemy, but that enemy is not people. It's not people. It's not. Our struggle is a spiritual struggle, but our battle is not with people. But it's much, much beyond than the surface struggles and the battles that we experience. Our battle is not a flesh and blood battle. But he said, be strong. Strengthen yourself. You're not going to be able to face this enemy that is a spiritual enemy. You're not going to be able to win in the battle for souls or the battle for spiritual victory except if you're willing to understand the need for strengthening yourself. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What was he saying? You're going to win this battle if you're going to experience a certain degree of victory. You're going to have to make a diligent, determined effort to strengthen yourself spiritually. Always. All the time. Stay strong spiritually, because you have an adversary, the devil, who is working with schemes and plans to try to stop you, to defeat you, to hinder the purpose of God in your life. And that's what the apostle, this message that he's sending back to that Ephesian church, he was telling them, you've got an enemy and there's going to be an evil day. You may not be in a big struggle right now today, but you're going to have to prepare yourself because there is an evil day coming. There is a day when you're going to be faced with great struggles and great trouble and great challenges. And so strengthen yourself now so that when those times come, and we all experience them, don't we? We all have times when things just go along real good and suddenly we get hit hard by attacks of the enemy against our faith. And the way to be prepared for that is to stay strong all the time. In the physical realm, it's called prevention or preventative measures, preventative medicine or whatever. Things that you can do if you'll stay healthy, if you'll stay stronger physically, and be careful what you eat. Try to get exercise and make sure that you're physically strong because your body may come under a physical attack. And if you're weak, you're going to be defeated. You're going to go down by that. Now, I know some of you probably have done this, but if you go online onto YouTube, there's these little videos that you can watch of people who are over there in Africa, and they it really intrigues me. Anytime there's a new one put up there, I always watch it because it's so interesting to me. Especially the lions and the lion pride and how it works. I saw one recently, and they one of the animals that the lion pursues is the water buffalo. And they're so strong, and as long as they stay in their herd, the lions won't attack them because they just know there's nothing they can do about it. They're not going to succeed. That herd is going to stick together and they're going to defend one another. I was reading where these lions, that they will wait. They will sit back and in hiding and wait for an opportunity, studying the herd, looking for the weak one or the young one, and trying to get to the place that they can eventually find the one that they want to pull away from the herd and try to destroy it. And that's exactly what they do. They will wait for long periods of time waiting. And it's said that they also, the lions, that they have such a scent, strong sense of being able to pick up, even on the scent of those animals, that they can detect if it's sick or even diseased, and it might be yards away from them, but they are able to pick up on the weak ones, the sick ones, the diseased ones, and pick them out of the crowd. And so this latest one that I watched, and you're probably going to think I'm morbid in watching these, but the latest one that I saw was three lions who came up against this very big water buffalo, and they attacked it. The first one grabbed hold of the back leg, and that, you know, that buffalo was just kicking him in the air and kicking him off. But at the same time, another one got a hold of its neck, and the third one jumped up on top of its back. And this water buffalo was all alone, away from the herd, and came under this serious attack. Now, eventually, this water buffalo died and became their dinner. But as I watched that, about 7 minutes long or so, it grabbed a hold of its back leg and it injured the leg enough that the animal wasn't able to get around very well. The other one had a hold of its neck and was cutting off its air supply, and so it wasn't able to breathe that well. And the other one that jumped up on top was big, and the weight of this animal trying to get away from these lions, it just wasn't going to happen, and it didn't happen. And I thought, my, what a picture of what the enemy does whenever he attacks someone. Whenever there's a spiritual attack that comes against someone, he wants to wound them. He wants to stop them. He wants to attack them. And it's that way. Here's these three big lions up against this one animal. Do you know that's the way trials and trouble and temptations and attacks of the enemy come against individuals and people? Manifold temptations. You get hit with one thing and then you get broadsided by another problem, and then before you know it, here's something else, and you're just overwhelmed, and it's almost as if you're going to be taken down. The only way that you're going to be able to survive in a spiritual attack against you is stay strong. Stay strong. Amen. Stay strong. Stay in the Word. Always take advantage of times to be with the Lord, to be in prayer. Don't be careless about spiritual things. Make the house of God a priority. Make the Word of God a priority. Make sure that your calling and your gifts and your ministry, that you're being used of the Lord, and that you're actively involved in what God has called you to do. You're strengthening yourself. Because things may be going along pretty good right now, but the enemy, he will attack. He will attack. That's the nature of our adversary who will come against us. So we are to strengthen ourselves. And the Apostle Paul sent this message, and he said, strengthen yourself, prepare yourself, because the attack will eventually come. And the enemy has a scheme. He has a method, a plan, and his plan is to take you down, to destroy you, to rob you of your faith and of your victory. And so he tells those Ephesian Christians, put on the whole armor of God. Now, he's chained to a soldier, so he probably just looks over at the soldier that he's chained to. And the Spirit of God begins to speak to the Apostle Paul as he's inspired to write. And he's looking at that soldier, and he's looking at his helmet, and he's looking at his breastplate, and he's looking at his girdle of truth, and he's looking at from head to toe, and he gets the picture of the importance of putting on the whole armor of God to protect yourself, to strengthen yourself, to defend yourself from the enemy of your soul. He starts with the girdle of truth, or to be girt about with truth. Now, instead of just saying, well, that means that's the belt of the Word of God that needs to be around you, it's the first and the most important, because it's in the center of the body, and it's the first to put on this. But it doesn't, it's not really describing, it's not really talking about just the Word of God, because the Word for this girdle of truth, or this belt of truth. The word truth there comes from a word that means sincerity. Sincerity. To be girt about with sincerity. Real. No fake. Everything about your relationship to the Lord is the real thing. Make sure that your relationship with the Lord and your connection with God is a real thing. And it's not just something you know about, or you've talked about, or your family has experienced, but you really are. You are girt about with a real experience with God. Reality. Amen. That's the starting point. You got to be the real thing. You got to have the real thing. You have to have this sincerity about your experience with the Lord. You say, oh, but it says truth. That's talking about the Word of God. Well, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're not leaving the Word of God out or minimizing the importance of the Word of God, but the Word here is not the same as it is as you get down here in a couple of verses where it talks about the sword of the Spirit. It's a different word. It's talking about sincerity, the real thing, having a real experience with the Lord, a real touch with God, that there's no fake, there's nothing about your walk with the Lord that is not genuine. Amen. That's where you start, with that girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The second thing is the protection of your heart, which is the seat of your affections. You have to make sure that you're protected from the attacks of the enemy, because your heart is deceitful. And the enemy wants to attack your heart, and he wants to cause your heart to stray away from God and away from the truth. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That literally your feet, you have on this footwear that causes you to be able to do what we've been talking about here tonight. Get the gospel out there. Preach the gospel. Give them the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why do you think that the enemy targets you and wants to try to hinder and stop you from being what you need to be? Is because you are a potential witness for the name of the Lord, and everywhere you are, everywhere you go, he wants to stop you. So put on this girdle of sincerity. Be the real thing and guard your affections with the breastplate of righteousness. Protect yourself. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You can't minimize that. That's the message. That's the important thing. That's the defensive weapon. But then the verse that we are describing here tonight is one that Paul gives extra attention to. Above all of these others, our faith is coming under attack. Our faith. And by that, I simply mean that the enemy knows that everything that we do, we accomplish it by faith. For those that are born again, it's because they have believed and put faith in Jesus Christ. So you come to the Lord by faith. And everything else that you do, it's by faith in God. We please God only by faith. We're able to advance in the kingdom of God, in the Spirit of God, in the things unseen. We advance for God only by faith, and the enemy knows that. But what's really interesting about this shield of faith, above all this shield of faith, is that the shield that he's describing was a shield that was quite large. It was about at least 2 feet wide and at least 4 feet tall, sometimes taller. And one of the ways that they used that shield was they did it to link together with everybody else. In the army, it was not just to stand and to defend yourself from those fiery darts, but it was because you were linked together. And those shields would be bound together, and they would go in a line, and they were like a wall moving against their enemy. That was the shield of faith. It was not just a defensive posture. It was a offensive. It was a move of faith, moving forward against the enemy. Apostle Paul was saying to that Ephesian church, if you're going to accomplish anything for God, if we're going to win the lost and reach those that are lost, it's going to be because by faith we take on an offensive. We begin to move forward for God. And whenever we do that, then the enemy pulls out the most feared of weapons. Those fiery darts. And the only way that you could stop this offensive of the church, the enemy knows that he can't stop the church unless he sends these firing missiles against, because, I mean, they're like a wall. They can't be penetrated. They all have these shields of faith, and they're advancing, and they're moving against the enemy, and so he sends these fiery darts. And on the end of those arrows, and sometimes spears or whatever other types of weapons that they would use, they would put some sort of a mixture there that would flame, and they would send that flame, and those big shields were made out of wood, and when they would hit those shields, they would stick in them, and then that shield would start burning. It would splatter all over the front of that shield, and it would start burning. And what was the enemy trying to do? He was trying to break through that wall that they had in their advancement against the enemy. Why does he send the fiery missiles those fiery arrows against us because he wants to stop the united work of the church. That's what he wants to do. He wants to scatter us because once the shield was on fire, then they knew if they held on to it, they were going to get burnt. And so they would all start having to cast aside that shield that was on fire. And before long, that wall was broken down and all those soldiers became vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. Let me tell you, there's a wonderful, powerful thing that takes place whenever the church starts uniting together in faith. Amen. We get a hold of faith. We begin to believe God, that God is going to save the lost in Faye's house and in Ken's life and others of you that are testifying tonight in your household, in your family, and through your ministry. We begin to work together and pray together. And we become like this united front of faith, shield of faith that's moving against the enemy. The only way that he can stop it is if he sends these fiery arrows against it. He wants to stop the work of faith. Amen. He wants to try to hinder what God is doing and can accomplish, and only he can accomplish. But here's the interesting thing, that many of these armies realized what was going to happen. And so they begin to not only go out into battle with those shields of faith, but they began to melt down different types of iron and steel and metal, and they began to completely cover that shield with that metal. So when the enemy would shoot against that wall that was coming up against him, that shield was completely covered. Amen. And they also found out that not only was it a defense as far as those fiery darts, but that shield served as like a mirror, and it would blind the enemy. It would the sun would shine, and that wall would be like a wall of light and a mirror of light that would shine and would blind them, and they would run and be defeated by the adversary that they thought they could destroy with those fiery darts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. What we need is we need faith that's so strong that those fiery darts are not able to penetrate. And they're not even able to set us on fire and to defeat us or to destroy us. But instead, we have protected ourselves and we have prepared ourselves with such a level of faith and confidence in God and his word that we come up against the enemy of our soul and he just runs. Because he is a defeated foe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. You know why that many times we are not reaching the lost and we're not influencing as many people as we should be or could be. It's because our faith is weak. Our faith is weak, and we just don't believe that we could really see a number of people brought into the kingdom of God over these next few days or weeks. We just aren't convinced of that. What do we need to do? Well, the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian church and to you and I as well, 2,000 years later, he said, strengthen yourself, strengthen yourself. The enemy's going to come up against you. He's going to try to stop your advancement. You protect yourself, but you also take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you link together in a united front against the enemy, all strong in faith, and see the enemy defeated. Hallelujah. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. That we are a people that bind together with a common burden, a common desire, and that is we really want to see people brought into the kingdom of God. Amen. That all of these that we're talking about this tonight, being used of the Lord and being able to be a witness to your loved ones and your friends and to those that God puts you in reach of those. Let me tell you what we can do so much more if we are a united front, if we're praying together, if we're working together, if we are moving as one together, united against the enemy. All of us strong, not just a few. that are stronger and more spiritual, but we all are pressing into the things of the Lord, and we are able to see the enemy put to flight. Hallelujah. And to see those that are held in darkness set free and saved, born again by the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have an adversary. You have an adversary. He shoots at me all the time, and he shoots at you too. He wants to take us down one at a time. He wants to weaken us. But God wants us to be strengthened in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Don't just determine you're going to be strong, but be strong in the power of his might, so that whenever the evil day comes, when the attack comes and those fiery missiles start flying at us, that we're not going to be stopped or hindered by any discouraging word or any hindrance or anything that the enemy is trying to do to stop the work of the church. We've got a calling. We've got a ministry. We've got a purpose for our existence. Right here at this location. Let's not allow the enemy to stop us from accomplishing it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Father, oh Lord, thank you for victory that is ours through Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you can lead us into the battle. Lord, as a united front, every man, every woman, every young person, Lord, that we are bound together with this common cause, common purpose. And I know, Lord, as we move and advance against the enemy, that he is a defeated foe if we strengthen ourselves, if we cover ourselves with faith, if we cover ourselves, Lord, and strengthen ourselves, then the enemy is not going to be able to stop the advancement of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.